Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, I'm joined by Allie Marie Smith, author, speaker, and founder of Wonderfully Made, a ministry helping young women know their true worth in Christ. Allie is passionate about addressing the mental health challenges so many are facing today, especially the impact of social media on our lives and on our joy. Her new book, Social Media Reset, a 30-day guided journey to unplug, reconnect with God, and reclaim your joy, is helping countless people break free from unhealthy patterns online and rediscover lasting hope in Christ. Allie, my friend, it's a privilege to have you back with me.
Thank you, Zach. I am so grateful for you, for AACC, and you truly don't know the impact you're making, so it's such an honor to talk to you.
I so covet those words, my friend. You know, last time we had you in the conversation, we chatted a little bit about your testimony, overcoming things like depression, overcoming things like suicidal ideation and more. For the audience that maybe didn't join us for that first go-round, I'd love for you just to give us a little gloss over and summary of what God has really helped deliver you from.
Sure. Yeah. Around the age of 12, I started to experience unworthiness, shame, insecurity. It escalated in high school. I tried to get as close to perfect as possible and, tried to people please and be a perfectionist and looked on the outside, although I was all the ideal American girl. After 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I came undone and I found myself in a debilitating depression. Mm-hmm. I was hospitalized because I wanted to end my life. 3 days later, after promising the doctor I wouldn't harm myself, I was sent home. And I lied to the doctor. That June, I drove to the Golden Gate Bridge with the intention to end my life by jumping off. And I got a flat tire. And I sat there, and this kind-hearted man came. And I hadn't talked to anyone for weeks. And it's a long story, but went home with a little hope in my heart. Tried to go to college, fell into an even more dangerous place, was flown home, hospitalized for 3 weeks. And as the medication was beginning to lift, I knew God was my only hope. And so I asked for a Bible. I always loved God. I believed in God. I didn't know I could have a friendship with God. I pored over the stories of Jesus for myself. And through a whispered prayer in the hospital chapel, as a woman sang Amazing Grace, I surrendered my life to Jesus. I was enveloped with the invisible, supernatural love of Christ that overwhelmed me, and I've never been the same since. I said, I'm going to stop living for myself, God, and I'm going to start living for you, and that changed everything. I have had mental health struggles since then, on and off, but He has restored me, has saved my life, and that's why I'm on a mission to share my story and give people hope that it's not the end of their story, that no matter what, they can overcome through the power of Christ and in their lives.
Amen. You know, I appreciate just your vulnerability, but I also appreciate the joy that you carry and that you exude. And I know, just like any testimony, that is the power of Christ that lives, dwells, and breathes within you. Mm-hmm. One thing, as you share your testimony, I'm beginning to think about girls around our country and globe today. CDC released a study years back that said that 57% of our girls seriously struggled with depression, persistent sadness. 30% of our girls considered suicide. Yeah. I mean, that's eye-opening. That's alarming. And you are doing a lot of work in this space of social media and the technological advancements that might be actually contributing to that very difficult mental health decline that we're seeing across culture today. Speak to just what you're seeing as it relates to social media and how much of a detriment it is in such a time as this.
It is killing girls' souls. They are devoid of joy. They are enveloped in a loop of comparison that covers and clothes them in shame. They are believing that they are a burden. So many are being deceived to believe that they were born in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. They are being raised to think that their purpose is to be perfect, to go viral, mm-hmm. to be a social media influencer, or that they have no purpose at all. They are truly living their lives on a phone. And it is the reason that girls are facing this unprecedented mental health crisis, yes. really that all of us, Zach, our world in 21 years, I will make the bold claim, has never been so lonely, suicidal, anxious, depressed, divided, unproductive, and polarized. And there's a lot of talk about it. But you know what? I'm pretty angry because it's time to actually do something about it. Mm. Our organization created Wonderfully Made, the ministry I founded when I was 20. We are trying to be part of the solution. Yes. I filmed a testimony just on an iPhone of me sharing my story. And I imagine a girl watching an ad of like an influencer, right? All of a sudden this ad comes up of me and I say, you are so loved and there's a purpose for your life. And I share my story for $4,000. That has been viewed over 1.2 million times.
Come on.
And so what the enemy is using for harm,
yes.
or trying, God can use for good and for the saving of many lives. Zach, and we are seeing an unprecedented revival,
yes,
truly
are.
Because of social media. However, I wonder what recently happened to Charlie. I wonder if we would ever be in this place. If we would ever have this division, this is serious. There are serious spiritual ramifications. We are in a spiritual slumber, and it's time that we wake up and that we act. And that's why I wrote Social Media Reset. It's an invitation for girls and women. But I invite every man, pastor, ministry leader,
yes.
to pull back for 30 days because this is not the life we're intended to live. Because this is happening on our watch, and I don't see women, I don't see pastors. It's time for us to intervene and say no more.
Mm.
Girls are dying because of a couple apps on their phone.
Yep.
So I can go on, Zach, but I'm pretty fired up. And
yes.
enough talk, that's and right. it's time to act.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that's what really led you to write Social Media Reset, a 30-day guided journey to unplug, reconnect with God, and reclaim your joy. And we're going to unpack that here in a moment, but I'm thinking of Jonathan Haidt's book, right? The Anxious Generation.
Mm-hmm.
We've really transitioned away from a play-based society to a phone-based society, and we're seeing the mental health decay because of it. But I'm also thinking about formation. Spiritual formation isn't just for Christians or people of faith. Spiritual formation happens to everyone. We're constantly being formed by the things that we consume. I don't know about you, but I have caught myself countless times doom scrolling on my phone. And a lot of us think, oh, well, it's harmless. You know what I mean? I'm just scrolling and just wasting some time. I'm relaxing, Allie. But we're constantly being formed. And what it does to our brains, the neural rutting, the rumination, all of these things. You talked about comparison, the perceived perfection. Social media is a human highlight reel. It's dangerous to get sucked into that trap. Speak to the importance of what it does to our brains. Because sometimes when we understand that, then it gives us a roadmap into saying what you're saying. Let's make a change. What's it doing to our brains?
I would like to answer that, Zach.
Yeah.
But don't let me forget to talk about what it's doing to our souls. What it is doing to our brains. So I will just say this. Every sight we see, every sound we hear leaves a mark on us. And it shapes the person we become and the life we will lead. Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your body will be good. You will be full of light and joy and peace. Unfortunately, we see the dark and we see the evil things. And so when we are here, in a virtual world we weren't created to live in, we are filled with envy and darkness. We're seeing riots and wars and assassinations.
Yeah.
And everything we see leaves an imprint on our soul,
yeah.
our brain, our mind, and our spirit. Mm. So I can talk about the soul. I can talk about the brain, what it does to our mind.
Yes.
On our brain, basically, everything we take in, everything we see impacts us on a spiritual, on a brain, on a mental, on a level of our brain and our body. So for example, if you were spending 2.5 hours a day scrolling, which is the average amount for an adult, you're going to see about 4,600 images a day, which can come out to over 80 million to 100 million over the course of your life.
Wow.
Visual images and posts are imprinted in our brain and recalled in our mind far more than everyday moments of our lives. So we can get to the end of our life and have 80 million, 100 million imprints on our brain of strangers, of wars, of celebrities. And so if we spend our lives looking at the dark things of life, looking at other people's lives, looking at things that make us feel, you know, compare ourselves to others. What it does to our brain is it heightens stress. Cortisol levels go up. The amygdala is activated. Mm. It gives us into a mild flight or fight state. It activates our DMD, our default mode network, which leads to rumination, comparison. And what that does to our mind, it causes shame. It causes comparison. It makes us dwell on ourself, on our shortcomings. And what it does to the spirit, to the body, it causes stress. It causes anxiety, yes. Chest pain, tightness. Yes. And so when we look at the good things of life, Zach, when we look at the beautiful things God has created and the gifts, and when we look at moments of our own lives, of our, you know, our spouses, our family, kids, we experience something completely different in our soul, in our brain, in our mind, and in our spirit. So when we look at photos and memories and moments of our own lives, we experience dopamine in a great way. Yes. We experience oxytocin in a way that makes us feel loved and connected to people. What does that do in our mind? It gives us more joy and peace. What it does into our spirit, it gives us a sense of calm, of joy, of belonging. And so we have a choice. What are we going to look at? You know, it's our decision.
Yes, it is.
And so I can talk about what it does to our soul level too. I mean, I'm pretty fired up about this, Zach. I mean, let's go.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and my guest today is Allie Marie Smith. We're talking about her new book, Social Media Reset, and how we can unplug, reconnect with God, and reclaim true joy in a culture that often leaves us anxious and overwhelmed. Allie, my friend, you just talked about the impact that social media can have on our brains. It can have on our minds. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, you wanted to touch on the impact that it has on our soul. Go there for us.
It's so profound, Zach. There are serious ramifications about social media, not just any kind of media, but this is where we are. This is where we're living today. Yeah. Social media is a world we were not designed to live in, Zach. We weren't created to spend hours a day swiping through the lives of friends, of strangers, of influencers' lives while our own lives go neglected. Wow. 1 hour on your phone can come out to 3 years of your life, 2 to 4 years, 6 to 8 years of your life. 4 or more years, 11 years of your life, 15% of girls are spending 40 or more hours a week on social media. And so we need to zoom back and say, God, what this is my life. What a gift of life. You didn't have to create me. Yeah. What an honor it is to have a heartbeat, to have breath in our lungs. You chose me before the foundations of the world. Life is a gift. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, we're going to stand before God one day, yeah. And we're going to have to give an account for how we lived our lives. Mm. Every single second of our lives is sacred. And so we need to decide, what kind of person do I want to become? What kind of life do I want to live? What do I want my legacy, my imprint on this world to be when the Lord brings me home? You know, David, the psalmist, says, Lord, teach me to number my days. Help me to know how fleeting my life is. See, God didn't have to save my life, Zach. I was so close. Like, it was only by God's grace that he saved me. I see every single second of my life as sacred. Yes. I don't want to waste a second. We are in a spiritual slumber.
Yes, we are.
We are.
Yeah.
Pastors, mothers, fathers, kids.
Yeah.
Are we okay with that? And so I'm going to ask you, I wrote Social Media Reset with Tyndale Refresh. Dr. Amen was so kind to endorse
Absolutely.
It. It's an invitation for girls and women, but I want to extend the invitation to counselors, to pastors, to mothers, to fathers. Let's do it. January 2026. What if we all unplugged, deleted those apps, returned to God? We return to the kind of life we were created for, an embodied life. What kind of habitat, where were we created to live, Zach? You know, we were created for a garden. And the more farther that we have been wandered from God's original design for us to live, the more unwell we have become in body, mind, spirit, soul. The more marriages are suffering. Fubbing's a real thing. Putting your phone in front of someone else, it's hurting marriages. It's hurting kids. We need to wake up.
We need to. And you know what I've noticed is that not just the next generation, it's today's generations. I think we have to notice that. But we're missing out on the beauty of boredom. We don't even know what it means to be bored anymore, to be creative anymore. And creativity often sparks resilience. And I'm just beginning to think about, man, I'm jumping into that challenge, right? January 2026, getting off the phone, putting it down. Absolutely,
I'll
do it.
Will you extend the invitation to the whole community?
I challenge all of our audience to engage in that same thing. January 2026, let's put the phones away. And let's actually have this social media reset. Let's return to the Lord. Hosea chapter 2 says that those who return to the Lord, even in the valley of Achor, a valley of suffering, a valley of trials and tribulation, that a door of hope will be spread wide unto them. Let's return to God in the midst of this time. Allie, I got to ask you this question before we kind of wrap up our conversation today, but I have used your writings when it comes to your blog and things that you've included in your books, breaking up with the ideal self. Because comparison, it's easy to say, well, man, I just looked and saw somebody that had something or was in love with someone that I wanted, right? And to imagine your life being somebody else's. But oftentimes, it then creates this expectation or this idolized version of myself. And if I don't break up with that version of me, I'll never step into the full version that God created me to be. So, Allie, if you would, break that blog down, those words down. What does it mean to break up with an ideal self?
Well, I do think it is to break up with self-worship, to break up with the idea that one day if we become more beautiful or famous or rich or thinner, that we are going to arrive, you know, that we are going to be complete, that we're going to be whole. And that is a form of self-worship. And I did that for years. You know, I grew up watching, you know, models and Vogue magazine, and it absolutely played a huge role into my downward spiral into depression, because the more self-focused I was, the more sick I was. And so we are created to look up to God, to look away really from ourselves, you know, the beauty of self-forgetfulness. And so we are not to be conformed to our ideal selves. We are created to conform to our Creator, our Savior, to conform to His image. And I've just been meditating on, you know, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And we say, you know what? I'm not going to care what people think about me anymore. I'm not going to care about what I think about myself anymore. God, my hands are yours. My soul is yours. My talents are yours. Just let all my vanities and my self-absorption just take that away so that I can abide in you, and that you can dwell in me so richly that I exude peace and joy. And I help other people know that they are seen, loved, and known by Christ. Rather than trying to perfect myself, I want to be on a mission to tell people how radically they loved they are by Jesus, that there is a hope for them, that there is a future for them. And so the beauty of when we let go of our ideal selves and we say, God, I'm going to make me who you want me to be in your image, we find freedom, we find the purpose we were created for, and we find joy.
I have two more questions that I want to follow up with, because you're just sparking so much. My mind's going a million miles an hour right now, but I want you to give a clarion call to parents here in this moment, because I know a lot of mom and dads that might be listening today that are terrified for the future and the mental health of their children because of social media, because of technology. But at the same time, and I'm not slamming parents here, I'm not saying that watching a movie together is bad or anything like that, but I've watched a lot of parents that are worried about the mental health of their children that are also the ones that are using technology as a babysitter. right? They go to dinner and it's like, oh, to get my kid to be quiet, we'll just put a phone in front of them. And I know kids, little kids that are knowing how to work tablets by the age of 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, you're saying one thing, but the action here doesn't align with that. Mm-hmm. What's a clarion call to parents in this cultural hour?
First, check your heart, check in with yourself. Over 50% of adults say that they feel that addictive pull.
Yes.
Right? And so we need to get real before God, real before ourselves. We need to check our screen time. We need to check how many phone pickups am I having? How much quality time am I having with my loved ones, with my child? First, parent, we need to, you know, as adults, we need to be honest with ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves, again, what kind of life do I want to live? What kind of parent do I want to be? Who do I want my child to become? Do I want them to have peace and joy, or do I want them to have anxiety or depression? The choice is really in the parents' hands, because this isn't going anywhere. I mean, I think these platforms need to be accountable. I can go off. That's another conversation. But let's return to the beauty of how God created us. For that's simply it. You know, our hands weren't created to swipe, right? They were created for playing in the dirt, for picking flowers, for holding the hands of people we love. We are called for this like wild and free life, and we are so far removed from it. And if you love your kid, if you love your child, give them a play-based childhood.
Yes.
Hold the technology. It's going to make them sick. It's going to give them technologically induced ADD. It's not going to keep them well. And so we don't need to conform. Yeah. We do not need to conform to the patterns of this world. And we are called not to. Mm-hmm. And so we have the idea together is we can even boycott these platforms and be angry. We don't have to use them. They're not oxygen. So it's not so much what's being taken away. It's God gives us an invitation to a much better life. A better, though unpopular, way of life. And so if you love yourself, your spouse, your, you know, even if you're single, whatever, like, let's return to the way God created us to live. And I'm not saying absolutely all or nothing. Yeah. I teach boundaries, and that can be another conversation of like, there are practical things we can do, and I can share what I've done. But there's so many things we can do.
It's devastating to hear. And like you said, that's a great clarion call. I think C.S. Lewis put in his Screwtape Letters. I've been sharing it throughout the last couple of weeks, especially in the moment we find ourselves in, where Screwtape, the lead demon in that book, because it's really about spiritual warfare, is reverting this letter to his nephew, Wormwood. And he says, make sure the patient or the individual that they're trying to torment or deter away from God's original design for his creation and children. Mm-hmm. He's telling him, make sure that the patient believes that the problem is out there in the broken system. So that way you might distract him away from recognizing that the problem is within. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing, hey, let's look ourselves in the mirror here. Let's take an honest inventory of our family. Let's take an honest inventory of ourselves, of our parenting, and make sure that it is aligning with, like you said, a play-based but a biblical model for parenting and family moving forward. Allie, how I want to close is your book is really about helping us reclaim our joy. And we've talked a lot about comparison today. We know the old cliche, comparison is the thief of that very thing. Mm-hmm. So I want one final word of hope and encouragement and motivation to a listener out there today about how no device, but only the divine, can help us reclaim the joy in Christ.
John 15, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will have peace. You're going to have joy. And that abiding in Christ and being so close to him and being grateful for every good, perfect gift he gives us. And for everything he's done for us.
Allie Marie Smith, my friend, on behalf of all of us here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, Dr. Zach Clinton, we love you. We appreciate you. We stand with you. We're grateful. I'm going to be joining you in January of 2026 for a social media reset. We will fast from that very thing. I promise you that, and I encourage all of our listeners to join us as well. Where can our audience go to find out more about you?
AllieMarieSmith.com, but I also want to invite A-L-L-I-E, MarieSmith.com. Please check out the ministry, wonderfullymade.org from Psalm 139. Amazing ministry for girls and women. So please visit us there too.
And I'm assuming our audience can pick up a copy of this book, Social Media Reset, a 30-day guided journey to unplug, reconnect with God, and reclaim your joy anywhere books are sold.
Absolutely. And shout out to Dr. Daniel Amen for endorsing it. Only God could take the girl from the psychiatric hospital, allow her to write a book, and have the world's most renowned psychiatrist endorse it. So thank you.
Allie, you are a gift, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. We love and appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wished they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.